Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. He looked good on arrival back here in America overnight. That's what the Army says about Bo Bergdahl, the U.S. Army sergeant freed 2 weeks ago from Afghanistan in a controversial prisoner exchange. Fox News Radio's Steve Taylor is live in Washington.
When Bergdahl's military plane arrived in Texas, the five-year prisoner in Afghanistan was met by Army Major General Joseph DeSalvo, who says Bergdahl acted like any sergeant facing a two-star general.
A little bit nervous, but he looked good. And again, saluted and had good deportment.
DeSalvo provided few other details, saying the Army wants to protect Bergdahl's privacy as he readjusts to normal military life. Doctors say Bergdahl's in stable condition, getting treatment, and will decide for himself how and when he reconnects with work, family, and public life. Ron?
Steve, the State Department says Russia has sent some serious military hardware to soldiers in Ukraine who side with Moscow.
In the last 3 days, a convoy of three T-64 tanks, several BM-21 or Grad multiple rocket launchers, and other military vehicles crossed from Russia into Ukraine near the Ukrainian town of Snizhny. This is unacceptable.
Spokeswoman Marie Harf said the State Department wants Russia to provide assurance it will stop arming the separatists. Russian and Ukrainian diplomats hold talks this weekend in Kiev. President Obama says he's still weighing a U.S. response to militant takeovers of cities in northern Iraq.
We will consult closely with Congress as we make determinations about appropriate action.
But he also says Iraq's leaders have to act first to reform their political system. The president has since flown to North Dakota. He and the First Lady are attending a Wachipi powwow on the Standing Rock Indian Reservation, part of a three-day celebration of Flag Day. He's the first president to visit Indian country during his time in office since Bill Clinton went there 15 years ago. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Real experience, real insight.
We're following this explosive story.
Nothing gets by Greta. Then.
This is all BS. What was that all about?
There's no spin and no question. O'Reilly dominates. Plus, smart, sharp, and cutting edge.
It's the news of the day, but with a little heat.
Megan delivers. And Sean seals the deal with fearless talk.
What part of that are you understanding?
Most watched. Most trusted. Fox News Channel.
There's more to Fox News Radio than meets the ear. Go behind the headlines and join the conversation on the hottest stories of the day on the Fox News Radio Facebook page. Be a part of the Fox News Radio Facebook fan community. Post comments and tell us your opinion. See behind-the-scenes photos and videos and post your reactions to the stories that matter to you. Click the like button on Facebook and connect with breaking news and features like Fox in the Fast Lane, House Call for Help, and more. Go to Facebook.com/Fox News Radio.
Central American children continue to come through Mexico and into the United States, filling temporary shelters to capacity. And now a congressional Democrat is calling for action.
Congressman Henry Cuellar, who represents the Texas area where many of the undocumented immigrants end up, provided pictures of children and adults crowded into holding facilities. Many of the children are being held at military bases. Nearly 200 are in a building at Naval Base Ventura County in California, but that's expected to reach capacity at nearly 600 next week. They are wards of Health and Human Services, but a judge determines later if they should be placed with a family member here or if they should be returned. By the end of the year, as many as 90,000 undocumented children may have come. Some Republicans blame White House policies for encouraging them to. Others blame violence and poverty in Central American countries. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
California Congressman Kevin McCarthy has new opposition in his bid to become the new House Majority Leader. Raul Labrador of Idaho has the support of conservatives who say they want other voices in the party.
That will break the stalemate that we sort of see between those who are advocating limited government and those who are really go-along, get-along kind of approach to government.
Richard Manning of the Americans for Limited Government. Republicans have their leadership election next Thursday. A new law in Florida redefines the state's current ban on late-term abortions.
Pregnancy termination has been illegal in Florida beyond 24 weeks, but Florida's Governor Rick Scott today signed a bill requiring doctors determine the viability of a fetus before performing any abortions, meaning if the baby can live outside the womb and if the mother's life isn't in jeopardy, it would be unlawful to terminate the pregnancy. The measure had overwhelming support in the state legislature, and the new law takes effect July 1st. In Miami, Eben Brown, Fox News Radio.
Stocks finished higher today. The Dow rose 42 points. The S&P gained 6. The NASDAQ went up 13. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
escape. The future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope. Bringing the nation back. One voter at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. It's great to have you with us today. I've got a great show ahead of you. But first, a quick program note. I want you to catch me Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. on Buckhead Business Radio. You can go to businessradiox.com and catch me there. I will be a guest on their show live. I don't know what questions they'll ask me, and I don't know what answers I will give them. You guys know I'm pretty outspoken, so look forward to being with the nice folks down in Buckhead here in the Atlanta area for all the local listeners here. But, you know, as you guys know, I am a huge military supporter, and each time that I see a veteran or member of the military in uniform, I make it a point to walk up to them, shake their hand, and say thank you. And, you know, you would be surprised just that kind of gesture when you go up to a veteran or a current active member of the military, for that matter, and you see this big, strong guy there or this 80, 90-year-old man that served in World War II, and all you do is go up to them and say thank you, and you can sometimes see the tears well up in their eyes because they don't go into the military for fame. They don't go into it to say, hey, look at me. They go into it because, for the most part, for most of the members of the military, well over 90%, they go in it because they love their country, not for the benefits that you hear. You know, it's a rough life being in the military, but you know, to have someone come up to them and acknowledge on a one-on-one basis that you appreciate what they do for the country to help keep us free, that you don't have to go to You don't have to worry about going to the store. You don't have to worry about going to the supermarket or going to church or you know, wherever that you want to go. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you because there's men and women out there fighting for our freedom to keep us safe so we can go do the things that we love to do. And so, you know, next time you see a member of the military, go up and shake their hand and just see what type of reaction you get. You know, I think you'll be surprised. And I'm very excited about a guest that I have on. She's on the line right now, and she takes this to an entire different level. It takes what I'm about to tell you, and you've probably seen her before on the Fox News channel, but what she does is just, it just blows your mind. She is on a mission to sing the national anthem in all 50 states. In fact, states 35 through 37 are coming up, and that's Kansas, Idaho, and Washington. Janine Stang, a.k.a. National Anthem Girl, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be on.
Well, you know, singing in all 50 states, that is an ambitious goal. I mean, some people go their entire lives with the goal just in their whole lifetime just to visit all 50 states. And you know, why this goal? You know, what drove you to go sing the national anthem in all 50?
I felt it was a need. You know, the national anthem is turning 200 on September 14th. And even prior to realizing that, I always said I'd like to sing the anthem in all 50 states. I didn't have a self-imposed deadline until, you know, last year. But you know, the national anthem is something that's not just a formality that we sing because we like to start a game off. It is respecting and honoring the lives that have been sacrificed and the people that are still with us who have sacrificed, who embody the meaning of that song. So it's really to promote awareness for the fact that the national anthem is not just, you know, like I said, a formality. And people, the next generations coming up, they have to be aware of the price that was paid so we could still sing that song. So that's why I'm doing it in a very long way, saying it.
Gotcha. Well, you know, a third of Americans don't even know, you know, some accounts, a third of Americans don't
yeah.
even know the all the words to the national anthem. And to me, I mean, that just blows my mind. What do we need to do, in your opinion? You see, I mean, you see all these people out here. You sing, mm-hmm. I mean, you sing the national anthem every single day. What's it going to
yeah.
take just for that thing, you know, just for the average day American to know our national anthem and
yeah.
the meaning behind it and the lives lost so we, you know,
yeah.
so we can have that?
I think it's going to take, you know, each of us to, you know, each of us need to do something in our own world. And it's because, you know, we could all depend, you know, depend on the government to do different things, but really it starts with us. I mean, we are America. We make that up. Without each of us here, it doesn't exist. And, you know, there's this one cartoon that I have posted a lot of times on Twitter and Facebook, and you see a kid who's kind of, like, upset, and he's sitting at his desk, and he's sitting, and everybody else is standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. And the teacher said, you know, it's okay, it's your right to not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, but I'm going to introduce you to somebody who sacrificed his leg, you know, for that right for you to sit. And I think it comes down to each one of us communicating with all the people around us that respect, because people need examples, and each of us could be that example. You know, and a lot of times, too, people say, well, what do you say about the people that won't, you know, sing the national anthem, won't do this? I say, you know what? They don't know. If they were educated or if they met some of these people, these humble, amazing human beings who fight for our freedom and keep us safe, I think they'd change their mind. You know, I think they've just, you know, maybe been conditioned.
You know, one thing that I really appreciate that you do after you sing the national anthem is you have a table set up and that you've partnered
mm-hmm.
with Operation Gratitude. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, yeah. Well, I found out about Operation Gratitude. They're based out here in California. A wonderful woman who started it who just felt the same thing. You know what? These men and women who are deployed as well as veterans should get something to express our gratitude. Well, in each of those packages, I found out she puts handwritten thank you notes. And I said, you know what? I'm going around the country. Why don't I get cards from everybody, you know, from all these different states? So she said, sure, do it. So I printed out these, you know, blank thank you cards. And what I love about it is it causes people to actually have to think about what they want to say. It's not pre-written for them, and all they have to do is sign their name. They actually, at tables, I have seen people sit there for 10 minutes writing long notes out. And I don't think they'd ever have had that opportunity if they weren't looking at a blank piece of paper saying, I have to say something to somebody who knows where at this point, and might need, you know, some encouragement. So it's forcing people, I don't want to say forcing, I think it's more so encouraging people to realize this is something I can say that, you know, who knows, these people might hold on to these notes for the rest of their life. You know?
Right. You know, it must take your breath away, too, when you see families come up and children come up and they're writing
yeah.
letters
yeah.
And you
so
know, the parents explaining, you know, what it's all about and, you know, the national anthem and what people overseas are doing. It must be an awesome feeling.
It is. I wish I could have a video camera with me at all times because even I was just in Alaska. I got back and a grandmother and her grandson came by and she told him, she said, listen, she said, we're writing this out. I want you to write. And he actually drew a little picture. And she said, I want you to, his name was Henry. And she said, we're sending this card to somebody who is keeping you free and keeping you safe. This is for somebody who's, you know, doing it, I mean, making a large sacrifice for you. And just to watch that, I started to video it, and I didn't get the whole thing. So I just was like, wow, this happens at every table. Every time I have something like this, and sometimes veterans come up like you were talking before with tears in their eyes, you know, and they say thank you to me. I'm like, you know, again, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to sing the song.
You know, and it's not just an Alaska thing. It's not just a California. I mean, you go across all the states. I mean, it
yeah.
just really shows the patriotism of the United States across the country, not just in one certain area.
Yeah, it's true. And I have met, you know, people say, oh, what was the most memorable moment or the most memorable state? There's so many, you know. And I think what this is also doing is pulling out of people, you know, the memories. Oh, my uncle fought, or, you know, my niece is overseas right now. It's different things like that. And it's just all it takes is a moment, you know, for people to say, let me just be grateful. You know, if we're grateful, I believe that is, I say that a lot, it's the core of patriotism, you know, gratitude is.
Now, did you think that when you first started doing this that it would impact you in such a way? Does it keep getting better and better each time you do it?
You always start out and think, well, this is going to be an awesome experience, and I'm sure I'm going to meet some great people along the way, but it has changed my life. Like, things that I used to think were important are not important anymore. You know, I look at people differently, and you get to, no matter what I'm doing, I mean, I'll be sitting on next to, I'm on so many planes, you know, I practically know all the stewardesses and flight attendants, but a lot of times I'll be sitting next to somebody on a flight, and they'll be, you know, sharing their life story, and they've got tears in their eyes about something going on, and you realize we're all rushing around, you know, as just human beings doing our thing. But, you know, the more I keep going, it's not about, you know, our life is not about what we can get, it's what we can give, you know. And it's not easy doing what I'm doing, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world right now. You know, I'm kind of sad that I only got 16 states left.
Right.
Sad.
Well, you know, I can tell in your voice that's truly a passion of yours. And, you know, this isn't something that you really do to make money. I mean, you go, and for the most part, this comes out of your own pocket, the travel expense, the hotel,
the
car.
I don't get paid for this.
Yeah, I mean, what, you know, if somebody wanted to donate money, I mean, it is a nonprofit that you've started.
Yeah.
And tax deductible as well for them. But where can they go to help you out so it eases the burden on you, so you can continue to do this to all 50 states by middle of September?
That would be immensely appreciated. I'm able to accept PayPal donations. My website is nationalanthemgirl.org. And if people go to there's like a bar on the right, it says donate via PayPal. And, you know, and they could use their credit card on PayPal, or they could email and I could get them the address if they only are comfortable sending a check. But anything, I don't like to ask for help. I'm not one of those people, but I'm facing, a lot of travel and flights and hotels, rental cars, everything, it adds up big time.
Right. Well, you know, you may not ask for help, but you've got plenty of people out there, I think, that will ask for you. So I think you'll be in good hands.
Oh,
but,
that's good.
Now, one thing I do, I don't know, not a problem with, but have difficulty with you going around the country is, you came to Georgia, and you sang the national anthem at Georgia Tech, not the University of Georgia. Big rivalries there. I'm a huge Georgia Bulldog fan, and then you have to go over to Georgia Tech and sing it over there.
If I knew we were going to have this conversation, do you think I would have done that?
It's never too late. You can always go there, you know, after.
Redact.
That's right.
If it makes you feel better, that wasn't part of my official, I actually sang at the Georgia Dome for Hosea Feed the Homeless. I don't know if you know that organization.
Oh,
but,
yeah, they're awesome.
If it makes you, they are very awesome. But if it makes you feel better, that was a long time ago. So it may redeem me a little bit.
Okay, you're forgiven, I guess.
But,
you know, we talked about, you know, your most, you know, the memorable experiences with the children and the families. But, you know, when you visit these states, you know, give me, I don't know if you're comfortable doing this, but give me some, just a few of the most beautiful places that you've been.
Well, for all the people that I don't mention, cover your ears if I don't say their state. I mean, obviously, Alaska was just breathtaking. Just flying in was amazing, just to see the mountains that up close. It is truly majestic. It's the only word I could use. Like, you just see these monsters. And I live in L.A. I see, you know, mountains. But this is just like, these are monsters. And I was just, you know, I actually, on my Instagram and my Twitter, I posted that I was able to take a picture of an entire rainbow. It was like a double rainbow, but it was awesome. And also, which is very interesting for me, it's kind of a funny story. When I was in Iowa, Missouri, and where else was I? Nebraska. I had to drive a lot on these country roads. And me being from New York, and I live in L.A., I am not used to seeing a lot of cat livestock, anything like that. So I was driving, and I pulled over because I saw a whole bunch of, you know, cattle, and I was taking photos, and somebody in their pickup truck was, like, slowing up, and then they pulled over, and I was like, oh, boy. And I was, they're like, are you all right? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm taking pictures of the cows. And I was like, can't everybody take pictures? They're like, no. You know, this is like an everyday occurrence for them. Me, it was like the equivalent of, like, taking pictures of the Empire State Building. I just was like, oh, my gosh. They're all just, like, hanging out. Horses. Cats. It was just... So it was beautiful because, you know, again, I don't see open, you know, open roads, and even the roads were pretty. Although driving home is a totally different story.
You know, it sounds like, you know, for you to go to all 50
states. On a country road in the middle of the night, not easy.
For you to go to all 50 states, you sure don't get out much, do you?
I really don't. I don't. And you know what's funny is a lot of times people are like, oh, did you have time to sample the cuisine, you know, in New Orleans or whatever? I'm like, listen, if you know what my schedule is like, it's like get in, get out, get next. I mean, I've averaged about 6 states a month to make sure I meet this, you know, September 14th. So it's airports, it's hotels and stadiums, and, you know, I don't always have free time. So I would love to go back to each one and spend a week in each one, you know.
Well, what's the average stay? When you from the time you touch down, wheels down to wheels up, what's the average time frame?
Depends. I mean, if the event is at night, then it depends on what time zone that I'm in when I'm traveling to. You know, I could end up being there just for 24 hours. Sometimes it's never actually totally 48 because I'll try to loop states together. So, like, if a state is only 2 hours away from another that has an event, you know, 2 hours away from the other, I will you know, drive, and then I'm not there very long. But Alaska, I was there. I clocked in for, like, under 30 hours, and I think I was up the entire time because the sun doesn't go down, so your body is just not, like, saying go to sleep. It's like, no, it's still daytime. Do stuff.
Right.
So
wow.
It was pretty crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I don't have – and also, too, I mean, you know, budget. If you're staying longer, it's an extra night in the hotel. It's more food. It's, you know, rental car gas. It's, you know, things we don't think about until we're in the middle of it.
Well, what's the average cost of a trip, if you don't mind me asking? Maybe that will help people donate money to you.
I have figured it out. Sometimes it could be over $1,000. If I'm looping states together, it may be a little bit less. But, you know, door-to-door, and that includes everything, because I also, you know, I have to pay my rent. You know?
Right.
I have to do everything else. So I've averaged it about total from, you know, all 50 states, it's probably $1,750 a state.
Wow. That's
But again, I still, if nobody ever helped me, I would still do this. I love doing this. I love it.
Wow. You know, one thing, it has to be a big achievement, is being on Fox and Friends. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. That was surreal. Twitter.
Before
some people have asked, like, oh, who's your publicist? I'm like, I don't have one. So they obviously liked what I was doing. I went on the show, and they were the nicest people. Everybody was so warm and excited about the project, and it was awesome to get to sing on, too. I mean, I thought we were just going to talk, and it could sing as well. So that was fun, and it was extremely helpful. I think it was more like almost like a tipping point, because after that, you know, obviously with a lot of exposure. So from there, I was really able to button up all the rest of the states, you know, because it helps to, you know, when you call up in the beginning, you're like, hey, I've been to 6 states. I'm trying to sing in all 50. They're like, yeah, that's nice. Click. You know,
let
me know when you get a little bit further down the road. So you have to have a lot of tenacity, you know.
Right. Well, what are you going to do after this is over in September, once you've hit all 50 states? What are you going to do with the downtime?
Sleep a little. Sleep. No, like I said, I'm kind of sad that this, you know, I only have 16 left. But I have some really exciting ideas and plans for continuing on. You know, this is a nonprofit organization. It just doesn't, you know, go, you know, stop after I finish. I really still feel that patriotism needs to be promoted in the form of expressing gratitude to our troops. And I think from doing this, it'll give me a platform to continue on. You know, everything, every talent I have, I feel is just a vehicle to do good. That's I view it. So for me is just to say, okay, I've done this now, and now I want to continue, you know, go out, encourage other people to come up with things to, you know, express their appreciation for their own world in their own community. And so I've got some pretty good ideas to move forward with that. And I'll come back on the show and tell you all about it when I'm done.
Well, there you go. What would you? Is there anything that you would change looking back doing this?
Oh, maybe became independently wealthy before I started, number one. but aside from that, I think probably would have learned a lot quicker on how to go about looping states together, because initially I was just flying in and out one state after another, and it was taxing, it was exhausting, but now that I've learned, hey, you know, because I'm from Long Island, so there's no neighboring states, really. You don't think about that. And some people are like, hey, you know, you could go to Iowa. It takes you about an hour from one place to the other. And I was like, oh, wow.
Wow.
Simple lesson in geography. You would think I knew, but, you know, I wasn't thinking that way. But anyhow, be one of the things. The other thing is maybe I would have, you know, become a pilot so I could have just flown myself around.
Well, you know, speaking of which, I got my pilot's license back in August, so.
Well, then why are we talking? You could be taking me all over.
Well, you know, if I had the money, I would do that. But you know,
no,
one of those things. But no, I mean, it's awesome. Do you like small planes? Do you like big planes?
I like any kind of plane. I love flying. You know, some people don't like it. I love it.
Well, every time I talk to somebody that loves flying, I always tell them, if you're ever in my neck of the woods, tell me you want to go flying, and then we'll go. So if you're
okay.
ever in Georgia, when you come to Georgia to sing at the University of Georgia, then
yes.
then you can go flying.
That sounds good. Maybe you could fly me right into the stadium.
Well, if I did that, I don't think either one of us would survive. So.
I don't think they'd like you very much. Like,
side,
it sounds.
That's true. Well, hey, I've got, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show. And, you know, it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of passion for what you're doing, because, you know, it does come out of your pocket. And remind everybody again where they can go to help you out a little bit.
Sure. My website is nationalanthemgirl.org. And there is a donate button on the right-hand side, and it's through PayPal. So anybody wanting to do that, I would be immensely grateful for any help.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. And, again, you're welcome back anytime. So anything I can do to help you, because I really believe in your cause and what you're doing. And, it's doing, you know, nothing but helping America, helping people realize, you know, what it took to keep America free. And you know, you've got a very strong platform, and I think you're using it really well. So, and I do have, if you don't mind, for our listeners, you singing the national anthem that we can go out on back to news
cool.
again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Janine Stang. National Anthem Girl. She is traveling to all 50 states by September, and she has got, 35, 36, and 37 coming up?
Yeah, that's correct. That's right.
All right.
I leave next
week. Awesome. Well, be careful, and again, keep in touch with us. And here is the National Anthem Girl singing the National Anthem.
Oh. So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant. Red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
I'm Ron Platter. Saying the U.S. military won't be dragged back, President Obama rejected any idea that American ground troops would be going to Iraq, where militant troops are taking over more cities in the north. Before leaving the White House for a trip west, he did not rule out the possibility of U.S. airstrikes.
The president is still deciding what he will do, but he says there's nothing the U.S. can do to make Iraq Sunni and Shia Muslims live together peacefully. That, he says, is something they're going to have to do for themselves.
The United States is not simply going to involve itself in a military action in the absence of a political plan by the Iraqis that gives us some assurance that they're prepared to work together.
House Armed Services Committee Chairman Ed Royce said in a written statement, the president and his team need to be acting urgently, not reviewing options in the days ahead.
Fox's Wendell Goller at the White House. Gay marriages are on hold again in Wisconsin, stopped by the same federal judge who decided last week that the state's ban was unconstitutional. The new order, part of the appeal process. There's a tornado warning in effect now in eastern North Carolina for four counties until 30 past the hour. Said to be in stable condition at an Army medical center in Texas, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl says he was abused for years while he was imprisoned in Afghanistan. That's what senior military sources tell Fox News.
Bergdahl has told them he was locked away in solitary confinement for two straight years. He goes on to say that he did not see a human face the entire time, only speaking to his captors through the wall of a tiny 6-foot by 6-foot metal box.
Fox's Casey Stiegel in San Antonio. The State Department says Russia has provided tanks and rocket launchers this week to separatist troops in Ukraine. Diplomats from both countries meet this weekend to try to find common ground in a tenuous peace agreement. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Weekdays on Fox Business.
Bottom line here is we want investors to be prepared for the day ahead, the week ahead.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo.
The concept is to bring perspective, analysis. All day long, I'm speaking with global allocators of capital, CEOs, heads of state, so I can anticipate some of the major moves or reactions, giving investors an edge.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo. Weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fox Business.
Weeknights, Kelly brings the heat.
Developing tonight, a Kelly File exclusive. This is breaking news. We're just getting this.
Inside today's most explosive stories.
That's not the way it was supposed to go down.
Getting answers and challenging the status quo.
There is a back and forth. I'm not just going to give you the platform for a soliloquy. Don't come on here and spit. I will leave that to you to decide.
Powerful, insightful, fair, and balanced. Megyn Kelly taking prime time to the next degree.
Join me for the Kelly File, weeknights at 9.
Congressional investigators are angry that the Internal Revenue Service says it can't find a lot of Lois Lerner's emails. She's the ex-tax woman at the center of the IRS's extra attention for conservative groups. The IRS says the emails were lost in a computer crash. Police in Phoenix say they're still looking for more solid leads in this week's deadly attack at a Catholic church.
Father Kenneth Walker was killed. Father Joseph Tarrow was badly hurt. Phoenix police responded to a call about a burglary at a church near the state capitol Wednesday night and found the two men had been attacked. Father David Sanfilippo has some words for whomever did this.
For those who seek God's forgiveness, the Lord is merciful, but I'd ask them to turn to him, to ask forgiveness, and to turn themselves in.
Parishioners became very emotional when talking about their pastors at the Mother of Mercy mission.
These priests were men you would all want in your lives. Great men.
Police are looking at physical evidence from the scene as well as from a vehicle found nearby, but they're still asking for any witnesses to come forward. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
On his way from the White House to a weekend in California, President Obama stopped in North Dakota to speak at a Native American ceremony.
Let's put our minds together to improve our schools, because our children deserve a world-class education, too, that prepares them for college and careers.
The president at the Standing Rock Indian Reservation. On a day of light trading, the Dow rose 42 points, and some stocks did get extra attention.
Priceline buying OpenTable $2.6 billion in cash, and we saw OpenTable jumping on the news. Intel has moved to a 10-year high on the idea of more PC demand. And GM announces four new recalls, which include up to 600,000 vehicles. That's more than 14 million for the year on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Cole Petalides, Fox News Radio.
Martin Keimer holds a six-shot lead late in the second round of the U.S. Open Golf Championship. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You are listening to the new voice of conservative talk radio. Unafraid and aggressive, he will take on anyone, including Republicans. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready and visit him on the web at aaronmccready.com.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. If you're just joining us, you missed the National Anthem girl, Janine Stang. She is on a mission to go to all 50 states and sing the National Anthem. She's got states 35, 36, and 37 coming up. As you heard her say, she leaves next week. And those states are Kansas, Idaho, and Washington. So those of you out there in Kansas, Idaho, and Washington, go to her website and you can go see her in person. But, you know, as we talked about in the first half hour of the show, is we talked a lot about veterans and active members of the military and what they do for this country. And, you know, the previous guest said that she tweets out a cartoon that, you know, that shows, you know, that some people don't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but, you know, the teacher says, I want to introduce you to someone that, you know, lost their leg. Members of the military don't go into the military to be thanked. They do it for a passion, and sometimes they come back maimed, and sometimes they come back scarred because they are trying to protect us. And so we can go out to restaurants, so we can go out and shop without the fear of going down the street and a car bomb coming up and blowing us to pieces. They're out there, unfortunately, being blown to pieces because they love the country, they want to protect you, and those are the ultimate heroes. And as you know, the Veterans Administration, the VA, the hospitals, they're under severe scrutiny right now, and they should be. We have got a president that when he took office, he said that he wanted to improve the VA for the veterans. For the members of the military that go over to Iraq, to Afghanistan, other parts of the world to protect this country, the VA benefits, free medical treatment for the men and women in military, is part of the benefit package. And there's not a whole lot of benefit in being in the military, but that's part of their benefit package, part of their pay. And this first started, this VA scandal, first started over in Phoenix, Arizona. And I know for a lot of you, I'm just saying old news. But it started over in Phoenix when Dr. Samuel Foote, now he's a former clinical director for the VA in Phoenix, He started sending letters to the VA Office of Inspector General back in December complaining about some problems and some of the delays in the health care. Now, he spent 25 years with the VA, and, you know, later on, after no response, he took his claims to the media and then to the members of the House of Representatives. And it's estimated that up to 40 people in Phoenix, 40 veterans, may have died while waiting for treatment. Now, I do not understand how the President of the United States, when he runs for office and says that he wants to improve the health care of the veterans, how he has no idea, and this just doesn't happen in Phoenix. That's 40 deaths in Phoenix. Now, it's all over the country, problems with the VA. I mean, my goodness, the VA, we all know, is ran by the government. It needs to be ran better because, my goodness, these men and women coming over, we've fought wars since 9/11. You have men and women coming out of the military all the time. It's not something that just all of a sudden happened. You know these men and women have enrolled in the military, enlisted in the military, rather, and you know they're going to come out. You know, this, the government, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care. The government, the same thing with Republicans in office. Same thing with Democrats in office. The government is too reactive and not proactive enough. Look, you know, you have all these veterans coming out. Then, I mean, just go to the DMV. Go to the Social Security Administration and try to get your name changed. Your last name changed if you're a lady and you just got married. Go there and wait. Imagine having to wait while you're sick, and that's just 4 or 5 hours. These veterans have waited years and years for cancer treatments just to be treated. And then we also have the new health care. You think your health care is going to get better? Look how the VA has been ran before this health care law came out. Do you really think that the government can run your health care? Really? You think the VA is bad? You just wait until this goes into full effect. You know, there's a couple things that we can do to help the VA problem. I'm not just going to harp. I'm going to offer suggestions on what we can do and what bold steps are going to need to be taken to get the Veterans Administration back on the right path. One, we all know they need to provide health care in a timely manner. Having veterans wait years and years and years for treatments is ridiculous. And the worst part, it's not necessarily the crime. It's not necessarily the actual action. It's the cover-up. They falsified documents to make it look like these veterans were waiting a lot less than they were. Now, you know, I come from corporate America, and I know how things are. You're given goals by your bosses. You're given goals by your company, and you'll do whatever it takes sometimes when you're being harped on and harped on and harped on to meet these goals. But you know what the big problem is? There's no accountability. There was no one going into these facilities and auditing them to make sure. It took the media and this guy from Phoenix, Samuel Foote, to bring it to light. You know, next time you're in a store and you see a veteran with a military hat on, saying World War II veteran, or has the name of their ship or the name of their base on their hat, and you look at that man that's 80 or 90 years old walking down the aisle of the grocery store, and look at him and do you really want him to wait years and years and years for treatment? Go down the street to your neighbor that just came out of the military. Do you want him to wait years and years and years for treatment when he just came back from Iraq to protect your freedom, or Afghanistan, or came from our bases in Germany or Hawaii? That's the thanks we give the men and women in military. So, anyways, we need to provide better health care in a timely manner. And like I said, there needs to be better supervision, more authority to make changes. And, you know, we need to open it up a little bit to the free market. There are plenty, I promise you, plenty of companies out there that if the regulations were loosened up a little bit, plenty of private companies that would gladly give free health care to the veterans. But allow veterans choice in care, not tied to the VA. I mean, the government could even provide vouchers. They need to have better resources as well, better pay, more people. They need to have a better staff of doctors, nurses, and caregivers. And better management. My goodness, look what's happened. People knew that this was going on. I mean, it's not like it just all of a sudden happened. I mean, there's stories from years and years and years ago. Even privatizing veterans' health system. But you know what we need to do also? We need to take the unions out of the VA. Now, this is going to get me on another tirade. I cannot stand unions. I don't care if it's the teachers' union. I don't care if it's the Teamsters' union. I don't care if it's an electrical union. I don't care what union it is. I cannot stand unions. And I'm going to tell you why. There was a time and place in American history where we needed the unions. Back when the industrial age came forth, and I mean, my goodness, workplaces were so unsafe. But now with you have social media, you have different internet sites, you have media 24/7 just coming at you from all angles, including this program. All it takes is a few whistleblowers. But what the unions do, they come into these contracts with different employers. I mean, and you drop a piece of paper on the floor. The employee, it's against union rules to even pick up the piece of paper. That's how ridiculous it is. But what people in unions don't realize is they have to pay union dues. They can't go directly to their employer. They have to go to the union representative to go to the employer. It takes up a lot of their time. The unions are the biggest scam of modern America. But anyways, that's a whole other show. 646-200-3400 if you want to call in. 646-200-3400. We need to get the unions out of government. They have no place in government. Then the communication needs to improve. And did you hear also that you know, they're having all these wait times, but all these, the top VA people got millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, a combined number, of course, in bonuses. Well over $100 million in bonuses. Now, our men and women in the military are having to wait for treatment. They're dying of cancer, dying of heart disease, dying of whatever else. They're having mental problems. They're having post-traumatic stress disorders. And they're waking up in night sweats and terror sweats. And we're given hundreds of millions of dollars, well, at least $100 million to the people in the VA because they're doing such a fabulous job. My goodness, if they're doing a horrible job. I mean, really? And it's not just a Democrat fault. It's not just a Barack Obama problem, not just a George W. Bush problem, not just a Bill Clinton problem. This is something that's just escalated for years and years and years. But then it got to a point, in my opinion, that there was so much pressure to improve that they didn't have the staff, didn't have the resources. The resources were cut, and they had to fudge the numbers. And Mr. President Barack Obama, that wanted to improve the health care of the veterans, it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And this is the same administration that has the IRS scandals, the Benghazi scandals. You know, 60% of Americans in a recent poll said that 60% of Americans are following this pretty close. And why are they following it pretty close? Because everyone knows a member of the military, someone that served, that it directly affects. I remember back when I was in college at East Tennessee State, I had an English professor, and he served in the military. And he went to the VA, which is across the street at East Tennessee State in Johnson City, Tennessee, if you're not familiar with that part of the country. Of severe chest pains. He waited a week, 2 weeks, would still come to work, taught the English class. And finally, they got him in to see a specialist after about a month, and he had a collapsed lung. They had to do surgery right away. I mean, can you imagine? And that was back in 1997. 96, 97. And it hasn't gotten better, I promise you. We've had a Democratic president at that time. We've had a Republican president for 2 terms, and now we've had another Democratic president for 2 terms. It's not gotten better. And now, finally, people are holding their feet to the fire. I mean, it's really sickening how we're treating our veterans. You know, the guys that fought and gals that fought in Vietnam came back and they were spit on. And then we came and give them proper medical treatment. And now with the Obamacare, I'm sorry, the Affordable Care Act. You know, it's harder for them to get treatment because the treatment is available as a member of the military through the VA. They can't go on their spouse's insurance. So now what are they to do? That's what your president did, people. I didn't vote for him. Oh, what to do? I don't mean to end the weekend on this note. I really don't. You know, you do on a brighter note, though, you need to check me out at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning on Buckhead Business Radio. And that is businessradiox.com. They've actually, I think, have expanded into North Carolina as well. So I'm excited about going on with those good folks over there. So you'll have to listen to me on Business Radio X. But, you know, real quick, we only have just a few minutes left of the show, 5 minutes actually. But, you know, I just want people to know that, and I know that most of our listeners out there feel the same way, and if you don't, then shame on you. But, you know, we would not be here if it wasn't for our men and women military. And I keep saying it, and I know you're probably getting sick of me saying this, but, you know, we would not be here if it weren't for them. We couldn't go out to eat at restaurants with friends right now if it wasn't for them. We couldn't go to work each day if it wasn't for them. You know, when you're by yourself in your car driving, just turn the radio off and just think for a moment what it would be like if you couldn't leave your house. If you went to the market or the supermarket, that you were afraid that a bomb might go off. When you sent your children to school, that you weren't sure if they would come back. Here in Atlanta, we've got an Air Force base. And, you know, I can't help but think, well, every time I see a military plane fly over, and as you heard talking to Janine Stang, I've got my pilot's license. And so they fly low over PDK, where I fly out of, to go to the military base. And every time I look up, and I'm just in awe of the military and I always think of what America would be like if we didn't have a strong military. You know, folks, our military budget is being cut. We don't need to cut our military budget. That's one thing that we need to increase, because it's not getting any better in the world. Defense is a strong offense. We're the only superpower left in the world, and we're well on our way to not even be that. So next time that you're out and about and you see a member of the military, thank them. Shake their hand. My wife and I, we just celebrated our 6th year anniversary back on May 31st, and we went to Wetumpka, Alabama, and in the elevator, you know, my wife can tell you I do this. I don't just say it because it's on the radio. In the elevator, there was a veteran that came in with a hat on. And I went up, and he was there. Well, didn't go up. He was right there beside me. Shook his hand and thanked him. I was at the Evergreen Hotel and Conference Center in Stone Mountain, Georgia. I went to the restroom, and it was in a restaurant, or near a restaurant, and saw a veteran sitting there at the bar. I went up to him and patted him on the shoulder and said, "Thank you for your service," and shook his hand. And he's one that teared up. You know, it's important that we show gratitude to these folks. They leave the United States to go fight our battles, and they don't come back the same. They come back totally different people. Just so we can go to the store and not have to worry about what's going to happen. That we can come home after work and worry what's for dinner, not if we're going to survive the trip home from work. But then we have people going and showing their appreciation, singing in all 50 states, shaking people's hand. People going to bases to donate their time just to let the military know that we care. You know, we need to thank them more, and we need to treat them a little bit better. And it starts with giving them one of the benefits, one of the few benefits that they get from going into the military is proper health care. That's not too much to ask. But yet they come back waiting for months and months and years and years. It's been a privilege to be with all of you tonight. My special thanks to the National Anthem Girl, Janine Stang, and also thanks to Buckhead Business Radio for inviting me on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Make sure you catch them, businessradiox.com. We'll catch you next time. Have a good night, and remember, thank a veteran.